Just a friendly reminder that the opinions expressed on this show are not worth a Canadian penny, so disregard anything you hear that might get anyone in trouble. And despite some of the great ideas you may hear, don't try them at home. Go to a friend's house instead.
It's time to get a gun. That's what I've been thinking. Well, I could afford one. And if I did just a little less drinking, time to put something between me and the sun. Time to get a gun.
Hello and welcome to episode 96 of Slam Fire Radio for February the 20th. I'm one of your hosts, Owen Flewelling.
I'm another one of your hosts, Matthew McClatchy.
Even when he goes first, he still hesitates.
Oh, I know. I'm like,
who am I again?
Who's lead? Who am I? Who am I?
And you are. And I am the Frelate.
Excellent. Wonderful to hear your lovely voice.
Dulcet tone. Somebody said to me today, you stayed home from work today. Does that mean there's not going to be a show tonight? And I'm like,
no.
After Owen showed up with mono,
we basically never have an excuse again to not show up. Guys, I'm a little tired. Get here.
Yeah. Man card.
You're welcome, listeners.
Yeah, it's Owen's fault. I'm always here from now on. So there you go.
Blame Owen.
That's not always a good thing, is it? Good. Am I supposed to go first, or am I supposed to make Matthew
your
go first?
Lead host?
It means you can do whatever you like.
Woohoo! I'm going to get some ice cream.
Hello.
You guys do it, suckers.
Well, I'm going to let myself go first because I don't have very much, and then Matthew, you can go. All I did this week is I started for the range to shoot the squirrels rifleman challenge.
How'd that work?
Squirrels friends rifleman challenge, whatever
yes,
it is.
Squirrels friends.
Where you had to shoot the squirrel.
Squirrely challenge. It's a groundhog.
It was a groundhog, yeah.
Whatever, same different cousins or something, yeah.
It all tastes like chicken.
It didn't make it.
So. Yeah, I was there with you, actually. We had everything in the truck. We had your M305. We had your 795. I had my Marlin. We were ready to go. And we, you know, Jeff, buddy of ours, Jeff. I don't know if I can say his last name, so I won't.
Yeah. Jeff, new listener, Jeff?
Yeah, he's a new listener.
Jeff, you had to tune his iPod.
And he's like,
Jeff?
He's like, oh, can we just like maybe meet for breakfast real quick? Just, you know, some stuff to do. Oh, okay, yeah, we'll meet for breakfast. Yeah, so we got there, what was it, 9:30, and we left at noon?
Yeah, 11:20 or 11:40 or something like that.
And we had to be back at the house by noon because Owen had things to do. So,
Owen, what did you do this week in guns? Since Matthew decided to tell your story, I thought maybe you had something else.
Well, no, I pretty much did the same thing Matthew did as far as what he just told, yeah.
I just thought it was funny. I couldn't help it. I wanted to make fun of Jeff. I wanted it to be me and not Owen because it's always me anyway. And I figured if he just focuses his wrath on me all the time, Owen will still be in the clear there because Jeff lives closer to Owen than he does to me. So I'm safe.
You're just taking one for the team.
I was just being thoughtful.
So instead of Owen making Jeff look bad, you made Jeff look bad, which makes Owen look good?
What do you mean make Jeff look? Jeff is bad.
How much breakfast did you guys eat?
We ate a lot of breakfast.
That's a lot
Not
of breakfast.
Very much. I ate 3 pieces of toast. No, I ate 1.5 pieces of toast.
Because you were sick.
Because I wasn't feeling good. That's actually why we didn't go to the range.
Oh, damn. It came out.
Yeah. No, and we're not, well, Jeff doesn't know that.
Well, he does now.
I was sitting there going, I don't know if I really want to move. Let's just sit here and talk. And Matt's sitting across the table reading my mind going, well, we can just sit here and talk. It was a good morning, actually. It was fun. But I did let Stacy down because I told her the night before that I was going to shoot the challenge.
Well, you tried.
She's used by us. Well, by me anyway.
Now by me. So yeah. I'm afraid that's all I did. So... sorry.
So what I did was I didn't do anything.
Yes.
But there was a cool story behind why he
and
didn't.
And I took 15 minutes to say that.
Yeah, it actually wasn't all that cool, Matthew.
But we got to make fun of Jeff.
If there's anybody left listening.
Well, Jeff's
not. That was probably about as interesting as... No, maybe I better not say that. I was going to say that's almost as interesting as hearing you how to detail strip, you know. the that thing, whatever it was you bought for that Steyr or whatever.
Wait, it's coming. Wait for it.
He's got another one.
Yeah, I know. That's right. I'll probably go do my taxes or something.
Well, actually, I was listening to it, right? Because I go back and I listen to the show to see.
Oh, really?
Well, I always want to know how the review of a firearm that I do sounds so that I can try and make notes to improve for the next time around. And I, you know, the Steyr one, I had thought that I had cleaned it up a little bit and so on and so forth.
You know the saying, you're your own worst critic or your own best critic. So you want to, you know. Yeah.
But the point is, while I went back to listen to my last review, I noticed that there was only two hosts, me and Matthew. You had apparently left town. Yeah. I know. I rambled for 20 minutes and I heard you in the last 3 minutes or last 3 seconds of the review. It's like, well, came back from watching an episode of Dallas and had a quick question that we moved on.
Well, I was glad I managed to mute my mic before I started snoring. That's all.
I thought it was interesting.
Thank you, Matthew.
No problem.
Tonight's will be very short because I haven't actually done a good.
Which is ironic because it's a long slide.
We are killing it tonight.
Oh yeah, Matthew, please do something.
Save us.
I had a pretty good week. I went. Well, you guys remember last week I went to the range with my 7.95 and I wasn't happy with it, so I bought a new gun. Well, I went back to the range after. I took it all apart and cleaned it all and made sure everything was where it was supposed to be and went back, and now it's absolutely flawlessly fantastic. I have no idea why I bought the Buckmark.
So it was simply dirty. You bought it. Instead of cleaning guns, you buy new guns.
I bought a new one.
And you all say, I got a problem.
Yeah, I know, eh? Look, I've always prided myself on not making impulse decision buys, but this one, it was such an impulse. And on top of that, I know you can't really get these guns just at a drop of a hat up here in Canada. They're just not available normally. And so when I saw it, I was like, I've got to get it. This is my only chance. If I don't get it now, I'll never get another one. And so I was like, bang, it's done. But dang. So anyway, it arrived today. I don't like it.
Why?
So it doesn't.
Covered in wood.
It's covered in wood, first of all, which I really do like, actually. It looks very nice. There's pictures on Facebook.
Splinters in your girly hands?
No, it's very smoothly polished. My girly hands are just fine. In fact, my girly hands are too big, and that's the problem. The thumb hole, the part where you put your thumb through, for those of you who don't know what I'm talking about, you're just going to have to go to Facebook and look at a picture. It's a pistol that turns into, that's a rifle. It has a rifle stock on it and a longer barrel, but it's sort of a thumb hole stock.
And a really big thumb.
Well, the thing is, it could be bigger.
Really?
I can't.
It's more like a hand hole stock.
It's more like a hand, yeah. But the thing is, my wrist hits the stock, the front of the stock, and I can't get my hand in far enough to activate the mag release because it has just regular pistol controls.
As a gun reviewer,
I'm going to give you a tip. The words you're looking for here are the firearm has very poor ergonomics.
I like it my way better.
That's fine. You're allowed to.
Where is the mag release?
It's regular pistol mag release.
So it's not ambidextrous. No way to make
it ambidextrous. It's not ambidextrous. I could, I think, maybe. But what I'm going to end up doing is I'll just kind of, I'm going to have to take my thumb right out and use my finger. Like, I'm not going to be able to use my finger to
cut my thumb off.
I'm going to have to basically remove my thumb, add an extension to it.
It's very similar, Owen, to where the mag release would be on, like, your GSG 1911. And normally he could get to it by just breaking his grip a little bit and reaching his thumb over. But he can't because of the way the stock is made.
Yeah, it just can't get to it. So that's unfortunate. The next unfortunate thing is this is a modern rimfire. Yes?
Yes.
It cannot be safely dry fired.
Oh.
That's a problem because I like dry firing my guns. And I actually tested it because apparently some Brownings, they are okay. What you do is you put a piece of paper in the chamber and you press the trigger and you see if it dents the paper. Well, this one definitely did. So, you can't dry fire it.
Yeah, I mean, my 5.97, same way. Modern. Can't dry fire it.
So, it comes with fiber optic sights, and they look fine. I haven't shot this yet. Like I said, I just got it today, and there's a snowstorm, so I didn't go out to the range. And it also has a rail set up for scope. You can put a Weaver or Picatinny scope base or scope rings on there and put a scope on, which is what I will do. I will be keeping this long enough to do a detailed review video and accuracy testing video. I'm going to compare it against the Marlin 7.95, which I think is almost apples to apples, a semi-auto versus a semi-auto, and see which one is more accurate. I do really like the barrel. They call it a Sporter profile barrel, but it's really just a tapered bull barrel. It's got to be an inch diameter at the rear.
There's a name for those tapered bull barrels. They call them sporterized barrels.
Okay. Well then, there you go. I'm just gonna hit you one of these days.
I know.
So
carry on.
Yeah. Anyway, it's pretty neat. I like the wood. It's very classic looking.
You heard it here, kids. Matthew likes wood.
I like the wood on this. It's got nice grain.
Actually, it looks like it was made.
It's a high quality firearm. I will give it that. Everything is tight. The fit and finish is fantastic. There's nothing that needs to be fixed on it. It's already just perfect out of the box. You just need to take it to the range and start shooting it. So I will shoot it. I will enjoy it for the time that I have it, but I can't see myself keeping this for very long. So it's a neat gun. It'll be fun for a little while. So anyway, while I was waiting for it to arrive, I was on CGN and somebody posted a picture of the first gopher shot this year, which of course is cause for celebration. So he posted a picture of the gopher next to his rifle, and his rifle was a Savage Mark II FVSR. And when I saw that, I knew immediately that I had to have one. It's a 16.5-inch threaded barrel, and then again, a bull barrel, fluted bull barrel, and then has a scope base that you can put your scope on. There's no open sights. But a short-barreled bolt-action Savage Mark II, yes, please. So tried to find one to buy, but I failed. My Google Foo was off, I guess. But fortunately, Larry G to the rescue from CGN, PND Enterprise had one. I went to the PND website and scrolled right past it. I didn't see it whenever I was looking. It was a smaller link, I guess. And anyway, he pointed out that they had one in stock, so I called him up and ordered it, and it's on the way. So I bought another new gun.
Nice.
So that one's going to be fun. You guys know I like my...
Are you trying to keep up with Trevor?
I don't know. I he's coming to visit, and I like, I got to impress him. I got to buy a bunch of guns or something. But
you got to have a bunch of something new stuff for him to play with.
Fortunately, go ahead.
I was going to say, just have some fried chicken on hand, and I am good.
Yeah, we will do that for sure. In fact, you owe me fried chicken because my gun arrived today.
That was the deal, right? Yeah, I don't know what I was thinking. I'm homesick.
I'll bet you a fried chicken dinner that your gun will arrive today is what he texted me after I texted him that I had a delivery notification for it.
Read much, not good, well.
So I said, deal. Anyway, so thanks to Larry G, he pointed that out to me, and I purchased that. And the good news is, because I don't like the buck mark, and I will be selling it, I'll be able to afford this Savage Mark II. It was actually very reasonable. It was half the price of the buck mark. But because the Savage doesn't come with open sights, which of course I normally have, but this is a supposedly precision bolt action rifle. I'm okay with it not having open sights. My Axis doesn't have open sights, and that's cool. Scopes are pretty resilient, so I need a scope.
You bought a Savage Mark II.
Yes.
After on the weekend handling my Savage Mark II.
Correct.
No, he didn't just buy a Mark II.
I bought a Mark II FVSR.
Okay, tell me what the FVSR is.
Well, it's a bull barrel.
Is that the... Okay.
And it's a 16.5-inch barrel, not a 22-inch barrel. And it's a threaded barrel.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Yep. So it's sort of just like a short barrel version. Yeah.
Very much like that.
Which stock is it in? Is it just
the cheapo Savage Mark II stock? So
you got to drop that in that really wicked Boyd's one.
That's what I'm thinking.
Yeah,
because that makes it look good. It looks very ergonomic. It's got a higher comb, which means you'll be able to get a better cheek rest instead of a chin rest. Because let's face it, there's no open sights. Why do you need a low profile stock? You need a high one. So I think that's exactly what I'll be doing, Trevor. So
I inspired you to buy this gun.
You kind of did. Because you remember, I was sitting there fondling it going, this is actually a nice rifle.
I miss mine. The two of all the guns I've sold, both those Savage Rimfires are just given me almost the only gun I regret selling probably more than my two Savage Rimfires is my Python.
Right.
Because I had the Bushnell Dust Till Dawn scope on both of them, bullet drop compensator on my 17 HMR. That thing was a TAC driver. My Mark II with the Boyd stock was a TAC driver.
Yep. Yeah, they're good guns. They're very good guns. I cannot wait for it to arrive. But of course I needed a scope, so I was looking online. I wanted a 2-7 power just because that's the range I like my scopes in. It's good for popping it up quick if you're just carrying it through the woods and you can, you know, shoot something on the move very quickly, or dial it up to 7 and do some longer range stuff. So I was looking around and I wanted something similar, something that had sort of the same attributes as the scope that I have on my Axis, the Crossfire 2, 2-7. Because it works very well. It has a bullet drop compensator in it and the reticle. You know, it's a very nice scope. And so I just bought another one because it was exactly what I wanted. So my Savage will have the same scope as my other Savage. And I figured that
good plan
made sense.
It does.
I'll be able to kind of practice if I want with the Mark II. And then, you know, I'll have the exact same setup in my 223 version. Kind of made sense. So that's on the way. Hopefully it gets here close to the same time as the rifle does. Actually, I think it might arrive sooner because I think I got the scope from a place in Ontario, and I don't even remember where I bought it. That's terrible. And then, the other one's coming from Alberta, so that won't be here till next week. But anyway, the last thing that I might do is get a linear muzzle brake for it, you know, to tame the massive recoil.
Well, you got to handle that recoil, you know,
It's a short barrel. I mean, that recoil is going to be terrible.
It's going to look wicked with a muzzle brake on it. I know it's 22, and really the only guy we know who takes advantage of muzzle brakes on 22s is Thomas Donnelly. But and it will look really cool because of the short barrel. It won't, you know, it's going to add a little bit, but it's still going to be short and compact. It's in that Boyd stock that we're talking about. I don't know which model it is, but, you know, it's the one, the ambidextrous one.
Yes. Yeah.
Yeah.
I think it's going to look good. And here's
I'm going to want one. This is going to cost me money.
Here's the real reason why I want the linear muzzle brake is because it's a 16.5-inch barrel, even though it's a 22, that does still make it quite a bit louder than even an 18 or a 20-inch barrel on a 22. And so the linear muzzle brakes, they trap all that gas and they route it forward away from the shooter, not just out to the side. And that will make it quieter for me to shoot. It doesn't reduce the overall sound signature. It just makes it quieter for me. I'll be able to shoot it without ear protection out in the woods a couple of times without wrecking my ears. So that's the real reason why I want it. But I think it's going to look really cool too. I just got to make sure I find one that has the same barrel diameter or the same diameter as the barrel because I want it to match flush. So anyway, I totally broke the bank doing this week, but it was snowing out. What else could I do? I couldn't shoot them, so I had to buy them.
You're as bad as me.
Yeah.
It's terrible.
Yeah. All I'm not working now to buy stuff.
Yeah.
And this is the time you can't afford to buy stuff.
But. Yeah. Anyway, that was me. I had a bit of a week, so I'm going to try to recover over the weekend when Trevor gets here. If he gets here. So, Trevor, I guess that's my segue into what did you do this week?
I started to pack up my gear to go to your place.
Beautiful. And with this snowstorm coming, you still coming?
It's going to have to be awful bad for me to stay home.
Beauty. Well, then I will make your bed.
Okay.
With the same sheets that Tommy slept in. I haven't washed them yet. Why would I? A gun dude slept in one of my beds. I've got essence of Tommy all over the place here. It's terrible. And creepy. And I didn't really do that. Stop looking at me like that.
We're just waiting for you to finish so I can carry on.
I'm sorry. I'll mute my mic now.
Yeah, so in order to save time, Matthew and I are going to do some chronographing. So I made sure that the mags are loaded with the ammo that I have to chronograph. Everything's separated and bagged. And I just start firing it through the chronograph and start writing down numbers as soon as I get there because I have no interest in making that process be any longer than it has to be. I'm testing 124 grain and 147 grain with one type of powder, and then 124 grain and 147 grain with a different type of powder, and various powder charges of each. So it's going to be, it'd probably take an hour by the time all that testing is done and the data is recorded. And then after that, it's all about shooting all these new guns that I bought that I haven't been able to shoot yet. Yeah. A little bit of dry fire practice today was with my new gun, but it's been mostly with my my Eagle because of Spring Bang that's coming up in Halifax. I got a question for you on that. Yeah.
I know you're one of these guys that will be practicing with all of these and playing with all of them. Do you find it a big difference to switch from one to the other? Like, do you immediately, you know, when it comes out of the holster, go to take a sight picture and have it just not be there?
You know, I really don't. If I had to say, the one gun that takes the longest to adjust to after not touching for a while would probably be the SIG, because the SIG has a very different grip angle. With the SIG and the Steyr are opposite ends of the spectrum. When I punch out with the Steyr, the muzzle is tipped up and I have to bring the front sight down. With the SIG, it's the opposite. The front sight is down and I have to bring it up. But after two or three repetitions, it's there.
Bore axis doesn't help that.
I think it's more the grip angle on the SIG. It's very straight. Yeah, okay. They claim it's like 1911. It's not. It's not even close to 1911. So because
I don't have a lot of different guns to try it on, but I found when I first started shooting pistols, I found that it was really bad. I was so much about the muscle memory alone that anything else I picked up and punch out with. Weren't even close. But now I find I'm paying a little more attention to that, and maybe my technique is better. Maybe I'm just paying more attention to that front sight. And as I come up and drive out, I'm picking that front sight up sooner, I think. And I'm not, you know, dipping or I'm not off as much as I used to be.
Yeah, I think it's overall experience and just more shooting time than when you first got into it.
Probably,
I play with all of them so
often. Anyway, sorry,
it's a good question.
Yeah.
But I play with all of them so often that I pretty much get them all right away. And a lot of them, the grip angles are pretty similar, and I think that's what's going to affect where the front sight's going to be. And the two that are the farthest apart from each other are the two that I struggle with for a little while, and that's the SIG and the Steyr. So today I conducted a little bit of an interesting test for Bolivar. Bolivar was at the range a couple of weeks ago when he was there with can't remember his name. I think his name is Adam from MD Carlton, the SIG distributor. And he was trying the SIG P320. And on that particular day while shooting, it was pretty cold out, he noticed that all of his mags except for one wouldn't drop out of his M&P while he was outside shooting. And he thought that the cold was affecting the grip and causing some shrinkage, if you will. So today I took all of my polymer pistols and one steel pistol and threw them in the freezer for an hour with empty mags, and then came back to see which mags would drop freely. And sure enough, every gun, the mags dropped freely with the exception of the M&P. So I did it a second time later on that day because my FNS arrived, so I didn't have it during the initial test, so I threw it in and it worked fine. I think the issue is that there may be some shrinking of the grip. The Glock, however, is all plastic mag in a plastic grip, a polymer grip, polymer on polymer, and they dropped free. But the way the M&P
there could be different types of plastic. Different types of plastic, you know, will shrink at different rates.
Well, so the polymer on the base pad of the M&P mag and the polymer of the grip of the M&P are probably almost certainly not the same polymer. The Steyr mag and the M&P mag are truly neutered mags. They're 10-round mags that they're double-stacked 10-rounders, and then the base pad is a couple inches long to make up the difference. They're not just a full-size mag with a pin in it. And the polymer on that M&P base pad, I think, is what's causing the problem. I think that's what's causing the stoppage on the way down. So that was kind of interesting. I did that. Now, there's a couple other people who saw the video today on Facebook that said they were going to throw their M&P into the freezer tonight and see if it happened to them as well. There were a couple of suggestions to simply not store your firearm in the freezer.
that could work.
Noted. Thank you. So, what else did I do? I tried to buy a SR9 today. I was going to go with the Smith & Wesson SD9VE, but Nathan Anderson, I think it was, said you already have a Smith & Wesson pistol. If you're trying to get a bunch of different Striker Fire polymer pistols, you don't have any Rugers, why buy two Smith & Wessons? Get the Ruger. To which I said, yes. So I found one on CGN, and he was asking $450 with two mags. So I've offered him $425 shipped, and I haven't heard back from him. So I don't know if he's just busy or if he thinks I'm lowballing him or what.
But that's not a lowball, though. I mean, a lowball would be like $300 shipped. Like, you're only asking for another $25. I mean, that's not a lowball. He shouldn't be dissing you for that.
Well, I don't. Yeah, I'm not saying.
Maybe he's just busy.
Yeah, exactly. Right. So he. Anyway, unfortunately, no. He sent me pictures through email, so I replied to the email yesterday or this morning. Asked him if he still had it. He still had it, and replied with the offer, but nothing.
Interesting.
Yeah. So anyhow, we shall see if he gets back to me. What's that one?
They had one for sale in Woodstock here.
Mm-hmm.
I don't think it was new. I think it was used, but I don't know if they still have it or not. I didn't see it last time I was in, so.
Was it black or stainless?
But they don't always have. I want to say it was stainless.
Yeah. I'd like to get it in black if I can. Or not.
Sure.
I'd like to. I will get it in black. I know enough black ones come for sale in the EE that I'll grab one. So.
Sure.
Okay, what else? Let's see. Oh, Sean Bevins called me tonight, and you know, he's got to stop calling me because every time he calls me, I say yes to him. So I got I've got another new job. Starting next issue, I'll be a regular contributor to the Canadian Firearms Journal.
Oh, that's cool.
Yeah.
What are you going to write about?
Action shooting, competitive shooting. Basically, I'm going to do reviews of IPSC gear. Talk about IPSC, talk about the different aspects of the sport, talk about three gun, reviews of different ARs, shotguns, reviews of pistols. In the beginning, it'll be a lot of the stuff will be repetitive from what I've covered here in the show. I'll just go back, dig up my notes, and write an article about some of the show topics that we've covered. So, you know, it's kind of, it'll give me that outlet to talk about competition as much as I want to without trying to bring too much of it in here. That's kind of what the purpose of Action Shooting Radio was. We could just talk about action shooting and nothing else, but no politics, no nothing, just action shooting. Well, now I can kind of do that in written form, right?
That'll be cool.
So it'd be another genre to,
well, you wrote an article for them. It wasn't the Canadian Firearms Journal, was it?
Yes, it was.
Yeah, it was. That's right. About the Moncton shooting. And that was fantastic. I mean, you're a good writer, so I'm looking forward to reading your articles.
We shall see. You may be looking forward to editing them, too. You just don't know.
Okay. Well, as long as I get credit, we're good to go.
Exactly. Yeah. So anyway, we'll give it a try. You know, I said yes. And if it gets to be too much with all the other stuff I'm doing, you know, we'll see. It's going to be for a year anyway. So they're trying to expand a little bit. I'm going to try and get some guys to, like a regular contributor to write about hunting, a regular contributor to write about long range, right? Some different aspects of shooting sports.
Right.
So, I think it's going to be a lot of fun.
Do they need one on rimfire?
I don't think so. They're only doing things that kind of like matter and
right.
People.
Makes sense. So,
yeah.
Do they need anyone to write about how they didn't do anything with guns this week?
If they do, I'll be sure to get Mike Dixon in too. So other than that, my FNS long slide 9mm arrived today. So it's a little bit of a departure from the other polymer pistols I've been buying lately. I would have preferred to get their 4-inch gun, but we live in Kanakistan, and I can't have the 4-inch gun. It would be like the 4-inch gun that they make would be the exact same deal as the Smith & Wesson SDVE-9. They simply, and like my Steyr, they're basically like Glock 19 size, but with restricted length barrels. So Smith & Wesson is doing that for their 4-inch gun, but FN is not, unfortunately. You get the straight 4-inch or the straight 5-inch. So this is the 5-inch model, and it's the same kind of deal. It's an IPSC gun, right? I mean, it's the gun that Dave Savigny is running right now. If you guys don't know who Dave Savigny is, he's an android. I'm sure of that. I'll testify to that in a court of law. He's definitely not human. He's, he's a machine. So anyway, Dave is shooting for FN, and this is the gun that Dave is shooting. So it's a competition gun. Out of the box, I think it's probably all ready for competition, with the exception maybe you might want to change the sights and you might want to put in a trigger kit. I won't do either of those. I think the trigger is fine, and I think the sights are fine. I'm not a production shooter, so I'm not really worried about tweaking it to the ninth degree. But it is in the same same league as an M&P Pro. It's also the same league as a Glock 34, but the Glock 34 is not actually allowed in production. So this would be, in Canada, the competitor to the M&P Pro. Striker fired, and it's 5-inch, and it's polymer. So it has I'm just going to quickly go over some of the features. I'm not going to do a full review like I've been doing lately. After I shoot it, maybe I'll say more about it next week. Three-dot sights, which it's kind of neat. The front dot is significantly larger than the back dots. So when you bring the gun onto target, the front sight is very easy to track because there's a noticeable difference in the size of the dots. Even though all three are white, it's my M&P, I blacked out the white ones in the back because I found it was too hard to pick up the front one. So I wanted a contrast there of the white dot against the black rear sight. But in this one, I don't have to. Cocking serrations, front and rear on the slide, and they're aggressive. They work really nice. It has a loaded chamber indicator that is both tactile and visual. It's a little red dot comes out that you can actually see, and then if low light conditions, you can actually rub your finger over it, and you can tell that there's a round in the chamber. Comes with interchangeable back straps, two basically, a flat and a humped. So it's kind of like the Ruger SR9, where you just reversed it, flat on one side, humped on the other side. This, you actually swap it out, but that's it. You only get two back straps, flat or humped. Came with the humped on, and it's so comfortable and feels so natural in my hand that I haven't even bothered to try it, see how the other one feels. I'm convinced there's no possible way I could feel better than this. So. And it's kind of like a Glock. It's humped in the back like a Glock, and we all know how I feel about my Glock, so I'm leaving it like that. It has an amazing magwell. I was showing this to Matthew a while ago on the webcam during our Skype chat. It's beveled, and it's huge. And, again, it's a competition gun, right? Not that I think all guns should be built like this, I'd rather have a quick, clean mag change in a gunfight than in a match any day, but however, it is what it is. Carry guns have little itty bitty magwells, and competition guns have big ones. I know this isn't the carry model. The only difference is that this is the long slide, the 5-inch as opposed to the 4-inch. But the gun is very slim; it's narrow, so it would conceal. You know, the 4-inch would conceal very nicely, I would think. This is terrible. You're gonna have to edit those stutters out, Matthew.
No way, man. I love them. Keep them up.
Yeah, exactly.
The gun is very slim. All right. No, I don't really have to say anything else. Everything is ambidextrous, including the trigger.
Wow. What? That's crazy.
Yeah, Richard.
I see what you did there.
Yeah. Last week, I called Matthew. I said, we're gonna call Owen Dixon. And Matthew will just call you for short. And he actually bleeped it. So I told him this week I was going to call him Richard all episode. And yeah. So anyway, quiet, Richard. It has a Picatinny rail with a couple of different slots on there so you can move whatever you want back and forth or put it right against the trigger guard. It has a really large trigger guard, which would be great for gloves. Cold hammer forged barrel, which apparently is a good thing. So I'm told. No, I'm just kidding. I know it's a good thing. But this is an FN. And FN make good products. I mean, you look at the FN Scar, the Saw, they make some nice rifles, and their pistols are nice too. It's the same FN quality, right? I will say this about the barrel. It's very thin. Thin-walled barrel. It's not a heavy barrel at all. I don't know what that's going to mean over time. It's never going to heat up, I think. And, in the stage of a match, you could stand on the line and shoot it, mag after mag after mag, and heat it up and affect the accuracy. But during a competition, you'll never shoot that many shots in a row that you'll actually heat it up and affect accuracy. But that, anyway, it is a thin barrel. The guide rod, though, is steel and hefty. Jeff Reese, he test fires my guns for me when I buy them. He test fires
them. And when are you having interviews for that again? Because I would like this job.
Which,
the job where I get to test fire all your guns for you.
You go apply at the Calgary Shooting Center. If you don't get a job there, you're a communist. So that's the thing. I buy the guns and Jeff test fires them for me. And, it's, you know, this one is Reese approved. He said there's like no recoil. And again, he takes a video for me and there's no muzzle flip. It's amazing. So, really impressed with it. I can't wait to get out and shoot it. Maybe could be even as early as tomorrow. Would we have time to get to the range tomorrow, Matthew, if I was there early?
If you're here early enough, absolutely.
Cool. And, okay, so finally, so also comes in a really great case. Some people, they get hung up on whether or not it comes in a good case or not. It does come in a nice case. It comes with a lock, and it also comes with three magazines, which is nice. The SIG only came with two. This came with three. The M&P Field Kit is coming with three. Glocks now are coming with three. And cheap, man. This gun was cheap. Let me say that again. This gun was inexpensive.
There you go.
You look at the price of a Glock 34, they're no less than $750. You look at the cost of an M&P Pro, they're no less than, I'm going to correct me if I'm wrong, say about $850. Mm. This thing was $655.
That's impressive.
It's got better sights than a Glock 34 comes with. It's got a better trigger than a Glock 34 comes with. I'm going to say it does not have a better trigger than an M&P Pro and does not have better sights than M&P Pro. If you like the fiber optic, I mean, you get that on the M&P Pro. I don't think that there's enough of a price difference there to justify enough value in a fiber optic sight to justify that price difference. But yeah, $655. Oh, yes, please.
Yeah, it's no kidding.
Yeah, it's got a lot of great features for a $655 gun. A Glock 17 is like $750.
Yeah.
So if you're looking for an affordable production gun, this is it.
That's a way to go for sure.
Yeah. I mean, this would be more competitive in production than a straight M&P9 or a Glock 17 or a CZ75. You start getting into Shadows and Tenfolios, that's a different kettle of fish altogether. But, I mean,
I don't like fish.
Yeah, this is cheaper than a Glock 17, and it's meant for competition right out of the box. So
cool.
Oh, and one more thing.
I was just going to say,
do not take it apart. Do not take it apart.
Tell the story again.
All right. Seriously, I'm homesick today, right? So the courier.
You sound sick.
Thank you. Courier arrived at 11:15. And I immediately stripped the gun apart with the intention of polishing some of the trigger parts because it's fairly similar to a Glock. My Steyr was secondhand, so I didn't feel the need to polish anything. It's already got lots of rounds through it. The SIG is brand new, but didn't feel the need to polish it. The trigger was fine. This one, because it's, you know, I'm going to shoot this in production. I'll probably end up sticking with the SIG anyway. But anyway, I wanted to polish it because it's supposed to be a competition gun. I wanted to clean up the trigger a little bit.
So it showed up at 11:15 and you took it apart at what time?
Yeah, I took it apart at about 11:30.
And when did you get it back together?
By 2 o'clock. Sure. There was about 25, 30 minutes spent polishing parts, you know, and stuff like that. But then trying to reassemble it, oh, heavens. And I got it together, but I got it together. I didn't have the disconnector in the right location. I locked the gun up so bad that I had to pound the pins out and disassemble it that way. Like, there was just no way. And then after I got the pins in the frame out and I got the trigger group was still captured into the rails of the slide, and I had to disassemble the trigger group into two halves, and oh my god.
Yeah. So it was fun then.
Everything is fine on this gun except for the trigger group, the way the sear and the disconnector and all that is. It's two halves sandwiched together with little pins and little springs, and one spring in particular is the devil, and I hate it. And yeah, literally from 11:30 until 2 o'clock it took me to get it back together.
Wow.
But I mean, it was straightforward. It is straightforward. Well, straightforward for me.
It's just hard to do.
Yeah, you're right, Owen. It's not complicated. The parts mm-hmm. count's fairly high. Once you, like, you know, just remember to put it back together in the opposite order that you took it apart. And but those pins and those springs in the trigger group were difficult. I got big, fat, nubby fingers and short hobbit thumbs, and I refused to get off my lady butt and go get a pair of tweezers, so that didn't help my situation any because I'm spiteful. Anyway, yeah.
Cool.
Carry on. And that was my short review. Oh, I hate myself.
And that was a short review. But that was all the important stuff, really. The rest of it, I don't know what else you have to say, but the rest of it
could
really
shoot it.
Go for it. We're listening.
It Since when does that hand. Matter?
Yeah. It feels good in the hand.
There That's you go. That's all I got to be able to say.
Yeah.
Upcoming events. The 5th Annual Charity Shoot, June 27th, 2015. All proceeds are going towards the Dalhousie Nursing Home Foundation. And I believe Trevor put this note in here that Sean Bevan says he'll be there.
Cool.
Talking to him a little bit.
Now, is that like he said he was going to be there last year?
No, he never said he'd be at the Cherry Shoot last year.
Oh, what was it he was going to be at last year?
He was going to be at SummerSlam, and he was.
Oh, SummerSlam. No, there was something else he was going
to
be.
You're right. He was supposed to come down and take his black badge the same time Peter Dawson did.
Oh, yeah, but something come up.
Yeah, so a little bit of back and forth on social media, and then today on the phone when he called me, I said, are you coming? Because I'm going to announce on the show that you're coming and that the NFA will have a presence there. He said, yep, I will be there. I got nothing on the calendar that week. So I'd like him to take the Tommy class too, but he wants to get a black badge, and I don't. This can't work at all in. I'm trying to get my head around how I might plan another black badge to coincide with one of our events like we did with the black badge that time with Tommy Dawson. Tommy Dawson.
I like it. That'll work.
Peter Dawson. Yeah, 10X. Anyway, yeah. So, Sean's coming.
Going on to the para course with Tommy. That's July 3rd and a mini match on July 4th.
There's really, I don't know if there's any sense in mentioning the para course anymore because I'm pretty sure it's sold out.
Just mention that. Yeah, we could just say, haha, it's sold out.
Yeah, suckers. So
you move within the first, 24 hours, pretty much.
It's sold out in under 48 hours, for sure.
Yeah.
Which, I tried to get him to admit that was a record. He didn't come right out and say, you're right, you guys are awesome, and I've never had a class sell out this fast before, but that's in fact what happened.
All right.
Even though he won't verify it.
Yeah.
But Trevor said it was, therefore it is so.
Yeah, Tommy's never sold out a class this fast before.
Has he ever sold out a class before?
Last year he did. With us.
Just trying to give him a hard time.
Oh, it was funnier your way. I should have just stayed quiet.
The hard time that we're giving him here is that this class sold out because of us more than because of him.
That's what we're trying to say. Which is, of course, the opposite, but whatever.
Totally the opposite.
Okay.
SummerSlam, August 8th and 9th. Any information on that, or you can't register yet or anything?
Yeah, it's the bane of my existence. I'm never doing it again. Next.
NFA AGM, that's May 23rd and 4th.
Stop by, say hi.
City.
We'll be there. Stop. Well, I will be there, and Trevor will be there, but who knows about Owen.
Probably not.
some Andrew Barr guy is going to be there with us.
Whatever.
You don't even know him. You don't even know what I'm talking about.
It's funnier my way.
All right.
And now we have a message from the one.
Hey, guy, this is Masad Ayoub. I'm here to tell you to take yourself and ideally your kids and your grandkids to an Appleseed Project shooting event. It's about history. It's about pride in your country. And not incidentally, it's about marksmanship and having a whole lot of fun. I hope to see you there.
Thank you, the one. Thank you.
Okay, news. We got any news? No news?
There was
news?
That guy that took his shotgun after those guys on a skidoo, he was charged and pled guilty. Remember that story in Saskatchewan?
No, missed that.
It happened last year. These snowmobilers kept crossing this man's property, and he got tired of it. So he went out to confront them with a shotgun. Yeah. He had one of those Mossberg pistols.
Oh, yeah, from last year, yeah.
Yeah. 62 years old. We went on and on about your right to defend your property and take a gun and don't take a gun and training, blah, blah, blah. Anyway, sure enough, I predicted this would happen. He was charged, and he pled guilty. He knew he didn't have a chance.
Yep.
All right.
Well, that's an interesting news story.
Yeah, you're welcome. There was other stuff and some things.
Other stuff and some things.
And stuff and whatnot.
Nunchucks.
This week for our main topic, we decided we would once again copy the Gun Dudes. Somebody decided that. It wasn't me. I was informed of it. I found it on Facebook.
Was me.
I wouldn't do a thing like this.
It's funny that it's Facebook is great. Slamfire Radio posted this, and right underneath it says, posted by Trevor Furlot.
Dang, damn it.
Sorry, man. You're busted.
Well,
I guess
it was me.
So we basically threw out a bunch of questions, or we threw out a request for questions.
Well,
we asked people a question to send us questions.
Right. And if you knew the suggestions that I gave Matthew for show topics, I think you'll agree that we chose... We went much better.
One of his was how to skin a cat.
No, it was how to tan a puppy hide.
There it is.
Proper caliber.
A ways to skin a cat, so we could, you know, probably spend quite a while on that.
There are many ways to skin a cat, yes.
Proper caliber or caliber choice for giraffes.
Yes, that was one of them, which was funny because one of my students is doing a giraffe puzzle. And I was all period looking at that giraffe going, shot placement, where would I hit that thing?
Yeah, because the vitals on African game are not where they are in North American game.
Well, I mean, you could take a neck shot on a giraffe, but...
I guess you could.
Where? So, anyway. Yeah, so we thought maybe we'd let the listeners, our Facebook listeners anyway, ask us some questions, and we'll just kind of go through this post and see what happens.
Yeah, so go ahead, Owen.
Now, how are we going to know which ones we're going to pick?
Well, you start at the beginning.
Just start at, yeah.
Like it, skip it.
All right.
I actually went through and I made some notes on a couple of them.
Oh.
Some of them I'll just breathe over. And some
all right.
Them. Good thing we can see these notes.
No, we can't.
Well, Brian Bolivar starts out. He's always so fat. He must live on Facebook.
I think so.
Yeah. Archery talk.
No. Go. Pass.
and then Jay Hines says, Hoyt, because frack you. Archery talk. Hoyt.
No. Let's go down Thomas Donnelly's.
Thomas Donnelly.
It don't be like that. He wants to know about Hoyt Bowes.
Okay.
Hoyt bows are like any other bow. Some years they come out with good ones. Some years they come out with not so good ones. Every bow manufacturer comes out with a new model every single year just to come out with
sell
new product
more.
For the sake of new product. And some guys buy the brand new bow every year. Some guys try it. They know it's lesser than what they have, and they stick with what they have until something better actually comes along. There are very few ways to be innovative in archery anymore. The technology is pretty much
peaked, I would say, seeing as it started back in like a long time ago.
Yeah. So anyway, Hoyts, Jay, are decent, but they're way overpriced. You're paying for the name with Hoyt now more than ever. PSEs have made a comeback in a big way. So yeah.
Okay.
Thomas Donnelly.
Are we gonna go like back and forth through these, or are we gonna have Owen read them all?
No, let Owen read them all. He's lead.
All right. They don't get to hear him very often anyway, so we might as well let him.
Exactly.
Sorry, did I interrupt you again? My bad. Okay, go ahead.
No. You interrupted Trevor, but he interrupted me, so in a way you interrupted me.
Oh,
yes! I got the assist!
Assist. Oh, man. That is.
This was supposed to be a good episode, but right now I'm just going to say it.
This is a bad one. We're sorry. We're sorry.
Fair, sorry.
Yes. Okay.
Awful.
From Thomas.
Yeah. He wants to know if I'm mad at him. He says, is Owen Swelling mad at me?
Isn't everybody mad at Thomas?
I thought so.
What?
Oh, not Chaz. My bad.
No, Thomas says, is Owen Swelling mad at me?
Right.
So are you?
Are you?
No.
Oh, okay.
Because he said you didn't respond to his Facebook message, so you must be mad at him.
I know.
Do you like me? Circle yes or no. What if...
I remember those notes.
So, okay, no.
And then he goes on and say, has Trevor Furlot ever had a gun that truly made him happy? Stock out of the box.
Yes, and I made a list.
Oh, good. Here we go.
My Thompson Center Venture Predator, my Savage 111, my Glock 17 Gen 4, my STI Eagle. Now, I mean, that gun was built custom from the factory, so I didn't have to do anything to it, but it was new out of the box to me. Sean Hansen, president of Freedom Ventures, he built that gun, so it needed nothing when I got it. And my SIG P320, I can't see myself having to do anything to that either.
Well, there you go.
But you
good to know.
Didn't you change out the sights on the Glock 17?
No, it came with factory night sights. That's I've done nothing to that gun.
Okay. I see. I thought you had Trigicons on those.
I have Trigicons on mine.
Yeah. I've got factory.
Okay.
Wait a second. No, you're right, Owen.
Yeah, no, I'm right.
They're still Glock factory sights, but they were on my Glock 35 when I got it. When I got that gun was brand new with the cheap white dot, white U sights.
Yes.
So, all right, I did change the sights.
Okay.
All right, then.
And last question from Thomas. Thomas is cheating, really. He's getting like three questions in here. Is Jewel ever going to get her RPAL?
No.
Well, she says maybe, maybe not, Matthew.
Does she?
Yeah.
When did she say that?
She replied to it.
Oh, I didn't.
An hour ago.
She didn't spell maybe correctly, but I still figured it out.
I love how you just corrected her on the air.
No, she did it on purpose, Matthew. She wrote M-E-B-B-E, M-E-B-B-E.
Oh, okay. Yes, that's her cute talk.
Exactly.
Yes.
Yeah, I can hear her saying it now.
Yes.
I'm in no position to correct anyone's spelling. I think we know that.
Jay says, convince me to buy a P320.
Buy one of your communists.
Don't buy one at all. They're terrible.
No.
Wait till Trevor comes here and actually shoots it, and then maybe we can convince you, because then I'll shoot it too.
Go back and listen to the review. Or call me on Skype, Jay. I mean, there's no reason not to buy the SIG P320.
Except that Glocks are way better. Other than that.
I don't know, man. If this thing...
I don't know. We'll find out tomorrow.
Yeah. Jay, I haven't shot it, but I've never felt this good about a gun I've never shot before. I know it sounds absolutely ridiculous, but just handling it and drawing it and dry firing it and cycling it, and it just, as right now, it has the potential to replace everything. Bold statement, I know.
That is bold.
Brian.
Are you going to do the next one?
Yeah, I can do the next
one.
Is
it coming up?
It's ironic.
I think I'm going to
read it. Is it now? No.
Yeah, shut the hell up.
Now you're
whatever could it be about?
Nobody gets this, of course, because we haven't read it yet, but Brian Bolivar says, how long can Matt go without interrupting somebody, and can Owen please tell everybody to shut the hell up? It's my turn to talk now.
I'm glad we could play into that.
Yeah. And then there's a bunch of chit-chat about why everyone hates Brian. No, questioning why. They don't. Somebody's complaining that everyone hates Brian. So I guess that's what was going on.
Yeah, he says, I'd like all the other podcasts to stop slamming him. Because what did he do to deserve that? Well, basically, he exists.
Yeah.
That's not true. Brian goes looking for it and picks fights with people.
He does.
In a fun way.
Well, yeah.
On him. His home province is actually gone now.
Yeah, won't see it until August, really, 2017.
Yeah. Rob, know that all of us except for Chaz do it in a fun, jovial type way. Chaz is really the only one that actually has a heart filled with bile and hate and mucus.
He's basically just evil incarnate.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Everybody else is fine, but Chaz really actually hates him.
Yeah. Yeah, we all really like Brian, actually. We're really looking forward to seeing him this summer. Mm-hmm. At least I am. I think Trevor would be, too, but Trevor can't stop hanging up on him. He's going to get there. Brian's going to be like, hey, Trevor. Trevor's going to slam the door in his face.
I called him this morning, and he answered the phone all polite and professional.
We probably didn't know.
And I didn't know. It's like a deer in the headlights. I didn't know what to say or do. So I hung up.
This can't be the right guy. I'm out of here.
All right.
Filthy, a good friend of the show, Filthy, reminds
Clone
Thomas
Trooper, that, of course.
Yes, reminds Tommy that not everything is about him. In response to his questioning why I hate him. Guys, could you please tell the listeners how awesome it is to have a Clone Trooper as a friend?
Okay, I can do that. Well, it's basically because red shirts suck as friends because they keep dying off. So you get the next best thing, the Clone Trooper. And if he gets mad at you, it doesn't matter because he can't hit the broadside of a barn. So he can't even shoot you if he gets mad at you. I mean, it's great having a Clone Trooper as a friend. Plus, they let you borrow their little speeder things and you can fly into trees with them. Well, Ewoks can.
I know a lot of people judge him because he's a grown man and wears a helmet on the internet. But under that helmet is a sweet, sweet human being.
Phil is a really nice guy. Yes,
he's probably the nicest guy I've ever met.
Yeah, yep. I like him so much more than you two. It's not even funny.
Oh, man. Yeah. Yeah, I concur. I'd drop you two in a heartbeat if he'd come on the show.
I was thinking the same thing. I'm like, I should be podcasting with Filthy.
No, it wouldn't work, though, because it would be way too polite. It would be it'd be too nice, and we would just, nah, that wouldn't work.
That's true. Filthy doesn't have a vicious bone in his body.
Oh, my goodness. No, would you, like, make fun of him? Because, you know, we make fun of each other the way that we always do, and Filthy shows up, and, of course, it just kind of, we translate it over onto him, and he, oh, cool, thanks, guys. Like, no, you got to retaliate.
Yeah, thank you, sir. May I have another?
Yeah. Oh, yeah, and I brought you a beer.
And here's the grand receiver.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. And then he wants me to tell... Could you please tell us the top 10 reasons Star Trek sucks? I don't watch Star Trek. I don't know.
All right. Okay. All right. Number one, there's too many different storylines happening, and I can't keep track of when what storyline happened in the greater picture scheme of things. Like, hello, Star Wars has 7 parts. It starts at the beginning, and it goes towards the end. You got Enterprise, and then you got Next Generation, and then this story had these guys are lost in space somewhere. Who can keep track of all of that? There's only so much nerd I can handle. That's one. Matthew, what's two?
Two is it was offensively inoffensive. It was just way too polite.
That's awful. Okay, three. top 10 reasons why it's three. Where do they get off putting black people and women on TV in the 60s? Unbelievable. Breaking all those stereotypes and traditions.
Wait, that would be like a good thing they did.
Oh, that's a good thing? Okay. Yeah. All right. So,
a little too far to the dark side there, Trevor.
Awkward.
The next one has got to be the uniforms. Those were terrible.
I'm not saying it's a bad thing that they did it. I'm just saying they had no business doing it. All right. The uniforms are terrible. Okay. Yeah. So we're up to four. Number five. They could never get the timing right of the doors and the sound on the original TV show.
Yeah.
Okay.
Okay, I think we can move on. Let's do the next question.
Red shirts always die. All of the evil villains, the makeup was terrible. And
I got a good one. Phasers had no recoil. Boring. Who wants to shoot a gun with no recoil? Well, except me with my 22s. Besides that, though, and compensators.
That's 8, 9.
We really can't travel faster than the speed of light.
And 10, J. Ingrams, or whatever the heck his name is, Abrams. Now he's doing Star Wars? I'm not impressed. You can't make that leap. You can't go from the Star Trek universe to the Star Wars universe.
It just doesn't happen.
It's gonna be
the
awful.
Wormhole is too long.
If I see one red shirt in the next Star Wars movie, I'm leaving. I'm going to pee in the aisle. That's how mad I'm going to be.
Well, okay. And on that note...
Yeah, I would like to, throw out one reason that Star Trek was good.
Oh.
William Shatner's acting is amazing.
Oh. You're right.
You should be podcasting.
Good. Job.
Just a little sarcasm there, folks.
Oh, my.
Chris Gillespie wants to know what it's like to be America's hat.
It's fantastic. What's it like to be America's underwear?
Canada's
underwear.
Way to screw that up.
I certainly did.
Yep. He also wants to know
Stig 2022.
I don't know what that is.
Me either.
Or 2022. Maybe it's a gun that's coming out in 2022.
Oh, it's from the future.
Just so you know, we talk about Doctor Who, but we don't time travel.
Is it a phaser rifle in the 40-watt range?
Terminator.
It's exterminate, not terminate.
All right.
What? Whatever. Kristen? Yeah, not Christine. Kristen Schneider. What makes the 1911 the greatest handgun ever made, and are its detractors possibly 5150s?
So, what's a 5150?
And secondly, I think it really is Christine.
Oh, is it? Okay.
It's an E on the end, so...
That's some kind of inside joke, 5150s.
I don't know what a 5150 is. Is that like 1911 times 3 or something?
What makes the 1911 the greatest handgun ever made? Nothing.
Yeah.
Yeah. This one will get us some mileage. Brian Bolivar has another question asking, how do you feel about automatic holsters for Condition 3 carry?
Fantastic. I love automatic holsters. They got the shoulder thing that goes up, right?
If I see that post show up on the internet one more time by some guy who's never actually shot a gun out of a holster or taken any training, I'm going to vomit all over the internet. You know what I finally started? Every time this thing, they got this bimbo. Sorry, she could be a nice lady. She's dressed inappropriately for the range, I guess. Anyway, her tights are unnecessarily tight. Anyway, so they got this girl using this automatic holster. Pushes down and it racks the gun, and then she pulls out and she starts shooting. Right? And she goes, "Oh, look how fast I can do this!" Right? There's still that. Anyway, so all these guys are posting this, going, "Isn't this a great idea?" And those of us who know say, "Oh." No, it's not. So finally, what I'm saying is every time this thing comes up, I put my only post, find me three professional, credible instructors of, I don't know, let's say Masada Ube caliber, who recommend this holster and think it's a great idea. Find me three and I'll buy you one of these stupid things. I haven't bought any holsters yet.
Yeah, I bet you won't either.
No,
I had. They're not a good idea.
I had an American friend of mine send me a message on Facebook with the link to this saying, thoughts, opinions, he's been working on getting ready, you know, getting everything kind of together to get his carry permit and things like that, and so I think that's why he was asking. But
Matthew or Owen, whichever one of you guys said last week for people to post that stupid archery video on my wall, I hate you guys.
Did they post it a lot?
Oh, Todd Trepanier.
It's Trepanier.
Whatever. Thanks, Todd.
I love Todd. That's awesome. Thank you, Todd. And I mean it sincerely. Trevor means it sarcastically.
Back to this holster. My opinion of it was it's a solution looking for a problem.
You got it.
You know.
Apparently, no.
I could see it working really good for someone like Brian who has to carry in condition 3 for service conditions.
Nah.
I could see that. I could see it having an application there.
If you wanted to be like faster than everybody else and really
that's
tactical,
what I mean.
Cool.
For a sport, in a sport kind of atmosphere, then I could say, okay, you could use this to game the system and, you know, get an edge.
Which I'm quite frankly surprised and disappointed that Trevor didn't come up with that.
I bet you that the proficient shooters are still faster, Owen, and Brian's going to lose his mind all over you when he hears this, that you said that you were surprised he wouldn't use something like that in service
conditions. No. I never said I was surprised. Oh. I just referred to him because I know he shoots service condition.
Oh. Yeah.
So I just, you know, for people like him who shoot service conditions, then I'm not saying you should use it. I'm just saying this is the only application I can see for this.
The only application for it is actually law enforcement that are required, and they are out there. Israeli, yeah. Right? The Israelis, they don't call it the Israeli method of racking your slide for nothing. And there's another couple of countries out there that were mentioned on these threads where law enforcement officers are not allowed to carry with one in the chamber.
Right.
So, yeah, no, I would still rather draw the gun and do it by hand. What if this holster locks up? What if it breaks? What if my gun gets stuck in the holster? The more moving parts you have in an equation.
If you shot one arm. And you don't have use of that arm.
Then you rack it off of something. I can chamber around on my SIG by racking it against the coffee table. No problem. The sights are made that way for a reason.
I know, but I'm just saying if this is your
Stop talking about it.
This is going to be faster than trying to make do in the heat of in a gunfight. I'm playing a little bit devil's advocate here. I don't like this holster.
I totally understand. In doing so, you're ruining a little bit of credibility you had.
I'm.
Let's move on, please.
All right. Jasmine wants to know how does the gun works and what are bullets? That's a big topic.
I know you're in Quebec, Jazz, but you're not that bad off. Come on, man.
I've seen him shoot. I know he knows how the gun works and what
That's
the bullets
right.
are. Okay. Sean Newman.
Oh, Scott. Sorry, it was Scott. This guy right here, Scott Trotz there.
Oh, the guy Trottier.
Trottier, yeah.
That's my guess. Trottier. I have no idea.
Trottier. He just makes a comment about something that was said earlier. It's not a question.
No. That's the guy who posted it on Trevor's wall, though. It wasn't Trottier. It was this guy.
Yeah, Trottier.
Yeah.
Sean Newman says, why doesn't anyone make a simple, cheap, semi-auto ranch-style trunk gun? The Mini 14 is now selling for $1,000+. The ranch-style MR1 is almost $2,000. There are interesting 9mm carbines, but I'd rather have a 5.56 or 223. Basically, why doesn't someone make a cheap, light, short, non-restricted AR without a pistol grip?
Because there's no market for it.
Well, there... that's probably it, because in the States, if that's what you want, you get an AR-15 or similar. And I know he says without a pistol grip, but a lot of people are going towards the pistol grip these days because they're more ergonomic and they're more comfortable to shoot. But, you know...
Someone wants that, they buy a Savage Axis.
Right. It's not semi-auto, but...
I know, but that's what your average Joe...
Here's the thing with rifles. You can have any of these two... It can be inexpensive, accurate, and reliable. You can have two of them. So it's either going to be inexpensive and accurate, or inexpensive and reliable, or it's going to be expensive and accurate, or expensive and reliable. You can't have all three. You can't have an inexpensive, reliable, accurate rifle. You just can't have all three. Nope. It doesn't work like that.
No, same as buying a house. You'll find the location, the price, but not the house. You'll find the house and the location, but not the price. I mean... Yeah.
So that's why you can't have an inexpensive, accurate 2-3. Maybe somebody could make an inexpensive, reliable one, but, you know. Yeah.
As far as pistol carbines go, the only one I could think of under $1,000 would be if you got your hands on a secondhand sub-2000, which, I had it for a while, and it was kind of a trunk gun for me.
Well, what about a JR carbine?
They're upwards of $850 before tax.
Gotcha.
So they don't fold up nice and compact like the sub 2000. But the sub 2000, it's fine until you use it.
Right.
Wear out. It's plastic parts. The gun wears out. The more you use it, the faster you're going to wear it out. That's the reality of the sub 2000. They're plastic and they wear out.
Yep.
Now, somebody did post here... Mini 14 for $699.
That's in the States, gun broker.
Yeah. Is Sean Newman in the U.S.?
No, I'm pretty sure he's Canadian.
If he's Canadian, then get an M305. Oh, he wants 223.
Yeah.
You're not going to get it. I mean, you could get a, my trunk gun for a while was my T97. It's non-restricted. It's 223. It's magazine fed.
What do they go for these days? 1600?
No, 1200? T97.
Oh, $1,000. That's right.
Well, no, somebody is listing them for $850, but they're not in stock yet. It's either Canada Ammo or Marstar, one of those two places. When they get them in, when they restock, they're going to be restocking for $850.
Right.
So, and then Brian Bulliver tried to help. Brian answered most of these questions, so I told him to get his own podcast. he said the SU-16. SU-16 is $799.
Again, you're not going to get the quality. You have inexpensive. You have mostly reliable. They're not very accurate. Trevor can attest to that.
Nope.
So can Steve Lee.
Yeah.
And they're not going to be long term reliable either. They're again plastic.
It's another plastic gun.
Yeah. And I don't mean to say that plastic on guns is bad. It's just that the receiver is plastic.
Yep.
The barrel is mated into a plastic, like the rail. Is plastic. You're just not going to get the type of accuracy you're looking for.
Picture how toy guns are put together where you have two molded plastic halves.
Yeah, like a Nerf.
With pins going from one side to the other and springs and whatnot. That's how Kel-Tecs are put together. You take the screws out, you pull the two clamshells apart, and it's just a bunch of holes that you stick pins in, and then you try and get the springs in place.
Don't get a Kel-Tec is my suggestion. At least not. Well, I mean, maybe the RFB. I've heard good reviews about the RFB. The KSG is a pretty cool gun too. I guess they do some of their stuff is good. I would stay away from the SU and the Kel-Tec or the SU-16 and the sub-2000 personally.
They're supposed to be coming up with a 5.56 bullpup. Now,
yes, they have, and I don't know if it's in Canada yet, but.
Well, I mean, that's the thing. Even the Americans complain Kel-Tec makes some pretty neat stuff, but we can never find it.
Yeah.
If they nail that one the way they did their RFB, and I've said this before and I won't change my opinion, the RFB feels like a gun that somebody else made for Kel-Tec. It's not the same quality. It's not the same fit and finish as the Sub-2000 and the SU-16. The KSG was also an improvement from those two, but for me, the KSG's manual of arms and flipping from one tube to the other and cycling, it was too much. But the RFB, it's mag-fed. I think it's pretty much impossible to have a stoppage the way the shells eject. So if they got the 5.56 the same way, it might be worth looking at. But
yeah, I'll have to wait and see on that one, though.
Yeah, and if it's too expensive, then fish, because, you know, I'm not spending Desert Tactical dollars on Kel-Tec products. I'll go with Desert Tactical.
All right. And so Matthew Milner's wants a review of the Buckmark rifle, but I think that's
sort of been done at the beginning of the show. Yeah, and there'll be a review video on it in the next couple of weeks, so you can watch for that too.
Cool. And let's see. Milserps. Alessandro wants to hear about Milserp. Since I've requested that like 5 times, how about resources for someone looking to build an AR? So that's another question.
That I've got. Let's cover the Milserp first, though.
I was just going to say, there's a reason you requested it 5 times and didn't get an answer. So let's just move on to ARs.
You know, well, actually, of course, I'm starting to turn, right? Filthy's taking me over to the dark side. Sure, why not get a Milserp guy, even Filthy, and have a Milserp episode with Filthy. Like, you know, if we keep it general, what are the most popular Milserps? Why? What do you expect to pay for them? I mean, I'm building a grand for crying out loud. We never thought this would happen. So, yeah.
Well, I think a big part of why we don't talk about it as much is between the three of us, we don't know a lot about them. Like, they're not really our thing. So
it's not our thing yet.
Yeah. So it's not something that we just would talk for a long time about.
That being said, you've got two and Matthew's got one.
I've got a Milserp. Oh yeah, my Lee Enfield. I forgot I had that for a minute.
Yeah.
You know, you got
an SKS. But again, those are guns I never shoot.
Yeah. Well, your M305 you shoot.
That I do, yes.
You got an Enfield?
I have an old Enfield. It was my grandfather's, yeah.
Well, so you got an Enfield and M305, which is not really a Milserp, and
an SKS.
SKS.
Yeah.
Okay, as far as AR resources, I did spend some money on some resources before I built my first one. Now, YouTube, and in particular Brownell's videos, if you go to Brownell's website, a lot of the products that they sell, right in the product description is a link to their YouTube channel, and they make really good videos on a lot of their products and how to install them, so there's that. Books, there's all kinds of books on Amazon. The two that I recommend are Gun Digest Book of the AR-15, Volume 4. It's by Patrick Sweeney. Patrick Sweeney is a very famous gunsmith and an AR guru.
Not Patrick Swayze.
That's right, Patrick Sweeney. Another one that I have by Patrick Sweeney is Gunsmithing the AR-15, How to Maintain, Repair, and Accessorize. So those two books are really cool, and I've never read them. and then I've got – now this I did use before I built my first lower. Building your AR-15 from scratch. Complete setup, complete step-by-step for building your own AR-15. And it's from Gun Video. And it's hosted by Lanny McGill. That's the voice in the background. So it's really cool. It shows you how to do everything. And even some stuff that you probably won't do at home, like how to drill your own hole in the barrel for the gas port. So it gets really detailed, but just if you're going to install the upper parts kit and the lower parts kit, this video shows you how to do it step by step, makes it look really easy. And it also shows you the proper tools. And of course, all these tools can be bought at Brownells. So there are a couple little tools that would make the job easier. You can get by without them, or you can scratch your lower like I did on my last build.
And that's the way to do it, really, right there.
Yeah, five builds before I finally scratched one. But it, you know, there's no reason.
Will happen.
A $12 punch could have eliminated that. So, that video again, building your AR-15 from scratch. I found it online, so you can. Those books are cool, but I can't read. So,
so videos are your friend.
Yeah, the DVD is awesome.
So, gentlemen, we're getting a little long in the tooth here. I say we rapid fire the rest of these and then move on to listener feedback.
Go.
All right. Somebody would like to know our, this is another Sean, would like to our take on the ATF's ban on M855 ball ammo.
I think that it was expected because they are looking for any reason to close any sort of ammunition or shut down any sort of ammunition anywhere. And yes, I do think it'll happen up here in Canada too at some point.
Well, I got a bit of a different opinion. They got rid of like a lot of the bulk military surplus 7.62x39 that we get, they can't get simply because it's steel core and they consider steel core armor piercing. Well, that's what this particular ammunition is. So there's no need for panic buying all the 223 you can get your hands on. It's one particular type.
Yeah, it's just the steel core stuff.
They went after 7.62x39 steel core stuff. Now they're going after 5.56 steel core stuff. I mean,
all right, and that, by the way, is the opposite of rapid fire. So let's try the next one.
When the magazine restrictions came into effect, I remember the exemption. If you participated in military rifle matches, I think it was once a year. What happened to that?
They had some loopholes for IPSC as well, too. They just slowly have been closing them up. Brian said there was no loophole for it. I don't know, but there were loopholes for IPSC so that you could get international matches like level 4 and level 5, but they've closed those.
Yeah, yep. Too bad.
Can't really give you more details than that, sorry.
Jeff Young tries to poke fun at Matthew McClatchy, but I don't really get see what he's getting at, so.
He says, McClatchy's been around for a while. What did he catch you guys doing? So why am I still here? Why haven't you killed me off, basically, is what he's saying. He's saying I'm that annoying that you guys should have killed me by now.
Oh, really? That's not how I interpret. I thought it was like, you've been with us for so long, surely you must have caught us in some compromising position.
Well, that's also true, but.
You know, so.
I took it the other way.
He's good of a friend, too, to tell those stories.
That's right. In the vault.
Question
for Trevor. Yeah, he has dirt.
1911 or SKS?
Neither.
Yeah, neither.
Seriously, though, would you recommend the Smith & Wesson MMP9 as a first handgun? I know you mentioned the takedown and maintenance as a few extra steps than the competition, but not a deal breaker for me. Open to other suggestions. Budget is about $700 at this point, but willing to wait for the right first handgun.
Of course, if you can get your hands on a Glock as well to see how it fits and see how it feels and whatnot, you know, you might want to do that first, but
there's no reason not to get an MP9 for
no
your first.
Reason.
No, they're good guns. They
$650
really
bucks, and it's going to come with 3 magazines, a holster, and a mag pouch.
Yeah, get
go
one.
Go for it.
Do it.
Yep. You won't be sorry.
Sharp 97. Where's all the 22 long rifle?
It's in my closet.
Yeah. Ben Landon, is the M1 Grand still a viable combat rifle?
If you want to beat somebody with a club, yes, it is.
Low capacity and bad recoil, and it's pretty susceptible to malfunctions from external debris.
Yeah, like, so no.
Yeah.
Yep.
Luke says, what kind of gun would you like to see that just isn't out there? I think a lot of guys have several ideas in their head of the perfect rifle or other gun with characteristics that no one has put together for them. What's yours?
Oh, that's an entire show.
That's a show
right
there.
I have like 6 or 7 different designs in my head that I'd love to see come about, but we just don't have time right now.
I got a real quick one.
We're gonna, okay.
Right.
I want a 12.5-inch pistol or a 12.5-inch piston-driven AR in 7.62x39.
All right. Cool.
All right. Luke, we'll cover that in the show sometime. Again, I'm not reading another one from Filthy.
All right. Well, he just basically answered the question above about the brand, and Trevor already answered it, so it's perfect.
Oh, okay,
what Filthy said, basically.
I haven't read all these yet, so.
That's okay.
Rob wants to know, why are liberals so willing to let the government run every facet of their lives?
Because they're pansies, and they don't want to take responsibility for themselves.
Ross asks, why are the gun dudes lacking rimfire ammo?
Because it's all in my closet.
Are there any news on Cyclone versus the CFO?
Not yet.
Heard anything. Swiss Arms rifle?
As soon as we hear, we will tell you. Swiss Arms is basically, we've got the last update, basically, which is they are quote-unquote non-restricted still, but owners are now only allowed to take them to and from the range and shoot them at the range. So they are de facto restricted firearms. And in fact, prohibited because we can't get any more in Canada.
Jason Philp, Sporting Clays.
No.
Jason and Bulver just go back and forth. Skip all that.
All that stocks? Open carry in Utah. Okay, here are some real questions.
Tony Brown, yeah.
A few years ago, we looked at buying some land in Canada, but I was put off by the restrictive gun laws there. If I did own land and live there for, let's say, 3 to 6 months of the year, Would I, as a U.S. citizen, be allowed to own guns, keep them at my home, etc.? Thanks.
So what I did is I called up my friend at the who used to work for the Miramichi Firearms Office, and keep it real simple. Americans can get Canadian firearms licenses, and you for both non-restricted and restricted, and then you can take your guns back across the border with and just flash your license.
Yep.
So you can basically you can get the same license that we have, and you can buy guns in Canada. You don't have to live here at all.
So and what so, about the import export thing though with the guns?
If you have your if you have a Canadian firearms license, then you're I think that is just your carte blanche to go back and forth. I have the link to all of this. I'll post it on the Facebook page right now.
Beauty.
And
because that'd be a good way for Matt to get his guns up here. I didn't realize he could just do that because Matt's an American citizen and he has his Canadian firearms license, his PAL. Yep. So he could just bring up his non-restricted guns then.
Yep. You don't have to live here to get a Canadian firearms license. So you could be an American and you could get a license and you could just go to Canadian Tire and buy a gun the same way we do.
Cool. Yep. I didn't know that. That's very good.
And I didn't know that either. I was impressed.
If you're and if then if you've got any issues as far as bringing in where they're saying, well, you've got to pay tax on that because you're bringing it into the country and stuff. If you have, I mean, any restricteds are going to be registered, so you've already got proof of ownership right there. And if you for taking them out, you can stop on your way out of the country, and it's basically a green piece of paper that has your guns listed on it that says I own these when I left the country,
yeah.
kind of thing. And so you can show it when you come back saying I own these before
I,
you know.
Before I left, I don't have Canada, to pay taxes, yeah.
Bringing them back in kind of thing. So,
cool.
Okay. How about a field test and discussion on the new 9mm version of the Christian Vector?
Really?
Apparently. He said pretty cool non-restrictive firearm. The 45 version would have been too expensive to shoot.
If they make a 22 version, I'm in.
Kelly Kim asks, is body armor ownership legal for civilians, and is it a good idea?
Depends on which province you live in.
Varies from province to province. Why wouldn't it be a good idea?
Yep. Of course, it's a great idea. I can tell you, it's legal in New Brunswick. I can tell you that.
What is a bad idea is putting it on and giving your buddy a gun and testing it. That's a bad idea.
Don't do that.
Now having, he tells us.
Having it is a good idea.
Yes. Yeah, no reason not to have body armor if you're legally allowed to.
Okay, we're going to skip the next couple.
I like the Chris Anderson one. Let's answer that one.
Okay. He says, okay, if you had to spend an entire day walking around downtown Toronto, holding hands with one of your fellow Slamfire hosts, who would you pick and why?
I've got the perfect answer. I'd pick Trevor, but because he would look like my grandpa, so it'd be okay.
I would pick Owen. So that when we got made fun of and had to fight our way out, we'd have a chance.
Owen, who'd you pick?
Oh,
Owen quits the show.
I don't know. That's a hard one. Probably Trevor.
Good answer.
Because good answer. Probably because when we got made fun of and we had to fight our way out, I could break his leg or knock him down and he wouldn't be able to get up fast.
Well, you'd just walk away at a brisk pace and yep. you'd end up a slight hill and he'd blow out a calf and you'd be fine.
Somebody else would like to know about some good Canadian gun channels, YouTube gun channels.
Oh, there's a new one out of New Brunswick. But
there is?
It's a Canadian Firearms Review, I believe it's called. Filthy turned me on to them. Okay. They actually shoot at Filthy's range. I hope I'm right. I hope it's Canadian Firearms Review. I am too lazy to look it up, but they are excellent. Good quality, good content, articulate, not a whole lot of, feels good in the hand. I really like it.
Sure, they're from New Brunswick.
It's my Norinco 1911. I got it for $250, and sometimes it works.
Okay.
Yeah, I don't know any. I'm only on YouTube. I don't really look at. I don't surf YouTube. I have no idea. Sorry. You can go to my channel if you want.
He has. I mean, Funker Tactical's good, and Rob Giltakas. Yeah, he has those.
They're both good. Both
good. I mean, obviously, check out Steve Lee's channel, but they're not Canadian. And there's lots of American ones, but last one. Dan Clendenning, who's actually a local.
Cigar Buff. Sorry, Cigar Buff. We like
Cigar
Buff.
Oh, yeah, Cigar Buff's a good one.
Yeah.
Yep.
Okay.
Yeah, now you can.
Yeah.
Dan Glendenning, who's actually a local here, wants to know about discharging firearms on one's own property. What are the legalities?
Again, depends on the province you live in. Yeah, I know he lives in New Brunswick, but for the other listeners, it's more about your hunting laws and it is your federal firearms laws. As long as you're not within a municipality that has a no discharge clause or no discharge bylaw, you can discharge, you know, wherever you're legally able to discharge. In here in New Brunswick, the hunting laws stipulate that if you're hunting with a rifle, you must be 400 meters from the nearest dwelling. Or if you're hunting with a shotgun, you must be 200 meters from the nearest dwelling.
And a bow is 100.
Yeah.
They even have it for a bow, for crying out loud.
They do. Now, here's the thing.
Yeah.
You can discharge on your own property within those distances of your own house as long as there is no other dwelling. Your neighbors are farther away. So if you live on a block of property where your neighbors are more than 400 meters away on either side, you can discharge from your own, by your own residence. That your own residence is exempted from that.
Yeah, see, I got completely contradictory information than that. So
I read it right off of the New Brunswick hunting law website. Not their handout that they give you when you buy your license, but I went to their actual and I read it in the actual law on the government website that said clearly.
And that is the way to do it. Just like the time you wanted to hunt with your air pistol.
Yeah.
Because you ask three rangers, you get three different answers.
Yep.
And of course, this comes from a ranger. And the way it was explained to me was the only exception is for a farmer doing pest control or protecting livestock. Other than that, you got to be the 400, 200, or 100.
Yeah, which is not actually the case. Yeah, so I read it. Like I said, you don't take my word for it, though. Look it up yourself. But there are websites available from the government that will actually list these types of laws for you. And I encourage you to check them out if you're going to do something like that to make sure that you're in the clear.
But just the thing to remember is just because it's your land, it doesn't give you any kind of – you can't shoot your handgun because it's your land.
Like, no.
The federal laws and provincial laws still apply if it's your land or not.
That's correct.
Yep. Excellent. That is it for I almost said listener feedback, but now we're going to go into listener feedback.
All right, well, let's do that then. We're right at an hour and a half now, so let's get through these, and that way we don't have another 2-hour show.
You worry too much.
Don't rush me.
I know, right?
Boy, he's pushy.
I know.
Just trying to keep the listeners happy, that's all. I know we have a lot to go still.
Dalton says, I'm going to do the first one if that's all right. Dalton says, so here's a bit of a rant. I've always been a pro-concealed carry advocate here in Canada. Something really hit me when I heard about the plot in Halifax to attack the shopping mall. We think we're safe here in Canada, which is often the case. But what happens when we're not? What would have happened if I was at the mall when this happened with my fiancé and no possible way to defend her or myself? Society is forcing us here in Canada to be sheep with no way to defend ourselves. Taser's illegal, pepper spray illegal, carrying a knife to defend yourself illegal. The only thing that seems to be legal is to cower in the corner and hope you're spared. It makes me sick to think I could have easily been in that situation with no way to defend myself or the people I love. Maybe it's just that this happened so close to home that it made me realize, but I wish more people would have this wake-up call. We here in Canada are living in one giant gun-free zone, and any would-be terrorist or outcast of society who wants to shoot a place up knows that. You and only you are the person who will always be there to defend yourself and your loved ones, not the police, not the government. So why can't we use the tools required to do so? Sorry for the rant. Keep up the good work.
You won't get any argument from us.
Well, you will from me.
First, I want to say one thing.
Yep.
Society's not forcing us to be sheep.
Right.
Simply forcing us to – it's not allowing us to have the tools to not be a sheep. But
yes,
being a sheep is a mental thing. And they can never take that away from you. They can never force you to be a sheep.
Remember,
but that's not what he's trying to say. You know what he's trying to say.
No, I understood.
He's saying that we're disarmed by the government. And if you're disarmed, you can be as vigilant and as open, alert as you want. But if you don't have claws, all you can do is run away.
Yeah.
And that's a sheep.
Right. That's not what he said. That's what your interpretation of what he said.
I know, but you know that's what he meant.
Well, I'm not going to put words in his mouth.
Right, Dalton? Write me back.
I would disagree with
Tell me
Matthew.
I'm right.
I would disagree some of that. There is...
We have the right to self-defense. The only thing we can't do is legally carry something for that purpose. Can we have access to things? Yeah. Do I have a collapsible baton in my car? Yes. Is it for self-defense? No. Will I use it for self-defense if I have to? Yes. None of that's a crime, right? Canada is not a gun-free zone. You can have a trunk gun. You can have a gun in your house, right? It's only, we can't carry for self-defense, but we can have guns in our cars. We can have guns in our homes. So to say all of Canada is a gun-free zone is a little inaccurate. I know where you're coming from. I'm frustrated too. What could you have done in the mall? Run for cover, hide, what else can you do? I mean,
But the fact does remain, how many people carry guns in their trunks?
Yeah, but
not very
many. How many gun owners carry guns in their trunks?
Yes, but
a lot of people
can have CCWs in the States that choose not to as well. Just because somebody doesn't carry a gun in the trunk, it's not because they can't, it's because they choose not to.
Yep. Oh, I agree. Yeah. But I think you find that far less the case than gun owners
in
Canada.
Right, but it's a choice. They have the option to do it. They choose not to.
Yep. No, I agree. I think it's just important to remember that just because you don't have necessarily the tools doesn't mean that you're helpless. You're not as helpless as you think you are. There's a lot of mental, and they can't take your arms and feet away from you. You're never completely disarmed. It's not maybe the best tools,
but you can carry a knife.
Yep. But I guess my point is, I'll just leave it at that because we're short on time. But I don't think any of us disagree with his email in the spirit of it.
Oh, certainly not in the spirit of it, no. I mean, just want to point out the fact that somebody hearing that for the first time may think things are worse than they actually are. You have to look at your options and be creative.
Mm-hmm. Okay, Matt, do you want to take this next one?
Sure, from Luke. Hey, guys, been really enjoying the show. I'm an oil field worker in Alberta, and of course, with the price of oil dropping, I'm looking for another source of income. I'm considering using some of the funds I've put aside to purchase a 3D printer, a 3D CNC milling machine, or both to make all manner of objects for resale. And by all manner of objects, of course, I mean gun parts and accessories. So, what parts and accessories would you like to see more of? Or, what would you want me to make that isn't available out there? What do you think there would be a high demand for? I might even be able to send a few items your way for quality control. Your input is much appreciated. Thanks.
Yeah, I'll need to think about that and maybe address that. Let's put that one in for next week and we'll have some time to think about it.
All right. We'll get back to you, Luke.
Yeah, we could talk about that one for a while. CNC Michelin.
my only comment was, he must be putting some pretty good funds away if he's buying a 3D printer and a CNC milling machine.
He said oil worker.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. His pocket change is probably what I'm making a year.
I got a counter offer. The guy I said, I got a counter offer on the gun. He'll take $425 if I pay the shipping. I'm sticking to my guns. Huh? See what I did there?
I see what you did there.
I don't think he's going to walk over shipping.
Trevor.
Yeah, take next one.
Would you like to take next one?
Sure, from Graham. Hey, guys, love the show. This where I get the most time to catch up on the podcast from the cab of the skid steer.
Yeah, he sent a picture with the email with him in his skid steer.
And I think there's supposed to be an is in there. This is where I get the most time to catch up on the podcast from the cab of the supposed to be a skidder?
No, skid steer. Steer. You skid never heard of a skid steer?
You got the wrong guy to read that email.
Yeah, I guess steer, so. Yeah.
So, all right, you go ahead and read it, Owen. I'm going to read this or finish this email here and buy a gun.
He goes on to say, got any info setting up a 3-gun competition? It's almost unheard of out here on the prairies.
Trevor's a perfect guy to answer that, but unfortunately, he's too busy buying a gun to answer you, Graham. So,
Graham, setting up 3-gun competition. Well, if you already have one action shooting sport established in your area, like IDPA or IPSC, you just design the stages to incorporate the 3 guns. You have to have your club on board, and you have to have guys that have the guns. A lot of lending out of guns at first. Guys come out to try it, and they only have 1 gun or 2 guns, and they beg, borrow, and steal, and squad them together accordingly. I mean, we didn't have 3-gun until we had it. That's all I can tell you. We just decided to do it, and we just designed the stages around the three guns, watched some YouTube videos, get some ideas. It's super easy. Email me directly, GrahamTrevorFurlot@gmail.com, if you have any more specific questions, but just go do it. You know, if you're shooting IPSC, apply the IPSC rules to it. A lot of the three-gun matches that are happening are outlaw three-gun. If you want to follow IPSC to the letter of the law, you will have three-gun, not multi-gun. You'll have a couple of stages with rifle only, a couple of stages with shotgun only, a couple of stages with pistol only. You might want to do that first if you're feeling a little unsure. Do that, and then you can try and move towards multi-gun, because there is a difference between multi-gun and three-gun.
Yep. And my suggestion is, you know, you poll the people that you have interested, and if the majority of them say, well, all I have is a pistol and a shotgun, I don't have an AR, you know, or I don't have a rifle that really works, then do some two-gun for a while, you know, do some matches that just have shotgun, pistol, and get that kind of up and going, get people kind of used to the concept of multiple guns, and the rest will come, you know. People just looking for an excuse to buy guns, so most gun owners I know, you know. So that's another way to kind of ease it into to a group that maybe isn't outfitted, you know, for straight for three gun. Okay.
Your lead host.
Hello. I was waiting for a comeback there for a comment on something. Okay.
Nope. You want me to take the next one?
You can if you want.
It's
for you.
Yeah. So Andy P says, hi, this is for Trevor. Not sure if anyone else responded yet about the long-term authorization to transport in Ontario. If you remember back to when you guys had Dan Bolosky on your show, you wondered, you would remember that he was fighting the CFO rule that you could only get a long-term authorization to transport through club membership. This is the CFO rule in Bantario. The club level ATT course is also CFO mandated. So you remember last week, or maybe the week before, I went on a friggin' go button rant about the clubs making members take a test before they get the ATT, which the government has to give them anyway. Well, it's not so much the clubs as that it's a CFO mandated. So the CFO is forcing the clubs to do it. So thank you, Andy, for clarifying that. He goes on, he says, as well, as far as I know, all steel in Ontario has to be shrouded, and I think the CFO even came up with new rules and shut down a few stages at the EESC three-gun match last fall. Yes, shooting in Ontario sucks, but we survive. So as far as that goes, Andy, it's George Hatch, cowboy action shooter and host of New Shooter Canada. He's shooting cowboy action in Ontario, and they're not shrouding their steel. So if they don't have to shroud it, IPSC shouldn't have to shroud it, and that should be the argument, not the other way around. If we have to shroud, they have to shroud. You know, it should be, if cowboy action doesn't have to shroud, we shouldn't have to shroud. So, yeah, so that's where I got that from, Andy. He's a cowboy action shooter, and they're not shrouding. Maybe they're supposed to, and they're not, and maybe I just ratted them out. I certainly hope
not. All right. Well, that's some good information there. If you would like to email the show, you can do that, and we will read it. Slamfireradio@gmail.com is the email address you would send email to. iTunes, 4 new ones this week, really?
Yeah, I'm just going to read 2, though, and we'll save 2 okay. for next week.
Okay.
So the first one comes to us from Hungry Hippie. Says, great group of guys. Says, Trevor can be a bit of a know-it-all, even if he's usually right. Yes, he is a know-it-all then. Matthew thinks he's funnier than he is, even if he does make you laugh. So I am funny.
He's got both
here.
Of those. He's nailed it twice so far.
So far. And Owen, well, Owen talks too much. Yeah, there we go. All right. Not only are they somewhat informative, they are also mostly friendly and usually helpful. A few times I have contacted them with questions regarding firearms equipment or training, and they have taken the time to answer, even going so far as to include links to more information. A fun, easygoing, and down-to-earth conversation amongst friends about firearms and firearms culture here in Canada. Too long? Didn't read? These guys are good. Listen to them. Thank you, Hungry Hippie. That was good. Next one comes to us from Cat Feltz, and it's entitled Take Off, eh? As Canadian as back bacon on a bun, and more fun than playing fetch with your beaver, glad to hear Trevor is sticking around. Trevor is kind of like tree sap. Very important to keep the tree growing and healthy. kind of annoyingly sticks all over you, too, though. Keep up the good work, boys. The work you do has more positive impact on the firearms community than you all realize.
Oh, those are really good.
Those are good ones. And we got two more for next week. So right. Thank you guys for leaving your reviews. We love them. Make them like that, and we'll read them. They amuse us to no end.
Two extra yep. sessions with the counselor this week.
All right. So
it's more good than bad. It's more good than bad. I got some shout-outs.
Yes. Shout out, Trevor. Shout.
I don't know if you guys are aware or not, but Toby and Melissa started their own show.
Yes.
I can't remember what it's called. Something like Overbearing Wife Podcast or The Controlled Husband. I think that's what it's something like that. Overbearing Wife and or Controlled Husband. Not exactly sure what it's called, but check it out. It's mostly good.
How can Mark they check Price. It out if they don't know what it's called?
Google it, Overbearing Wife Podcast. It'll come right up.
Yeah. To Mark Price for sending us a link to Steve Lee's appearance in the that's not me.
No, I put that in, but keep I'm going. Sorry. It's great.
All right. So, and that was the Living with the Enemy episode. I can't say enough good things about it.
It was fantastic. I finally got to see it because of Mark Price sending us the link, and I finally got to watch it, and it was fantastic. Steve did such a good job.
He did, didn't he? Yep. Meals on Wheels?
Oh, yeah, it was hilarious. Yeah. Meals on Wheels. Yeah. Best way.
Yeah.
And the last one... Sorry.
Yeah. Oh, okay. Sorry. Go ahead.
Oh. The last one is to Cornfed. He sent us a joke in our email, which was kind of funny. Not terribly appropriate for the show, but hilarious. So thank you for the joke. It made me chuckle.
Oh, I didn't see it.
That's okay. It was the 1911 walks into a bar and someone goes out, you don't have enough rounds, but yeah, all something before then.
Yeah, something. But yeah, but we did that one with Jason Filt.
We might have.
Yeah.
Toby and Melissa's show is called
Armed Couples.
I was going to do that. Now I really look like a douche.
You are. So.
Perfect.
That would be the last thing I was going to say. Well, they had a couple.
Yeah, it might be if she gets her hands on you.
She was asking about my panties last week. She wanted to see my no compromise panties. I'm like,
okay.
Yeah.
Oh, I'm out. Is that you in that picture? You're the model there?
She thought it was. Or she said I looked good in my panties. I don't know. It was really awkward and inappropriate.
Yes.
Jeez, Toby, I'm just saying, when you and Styx do a show, nobody talks about my underwear. Just saying. His wife's 16 years old. What do you want from me? I don't know.
Okay, I'm going to sign off now. go and check out the Crusader Podcast Network at crusaderpodcasts.com. Join both of the National Firearms Association, CSSA, and the NFA. They do good. They help them help you.
They do that too, yeah.
Check us out on Gun Owners of Canada. We've got our forum over there. Post links, a little bit of chit-chat. And like us on Facebook as well. I think that we're still, 11:53. So that's the show for this week. Ran a little long, but that's all right. You can just listen in two parts.
Yeah, if you like. That's cool.
So that's it. We still don't have any decent way to sign off the show, so I'm just going to say so long, everybody.
And I'm going to say, see you next week.
I'm going to say, I'll have a new gun to talk about next week.
So will I. That'll be cool. All right, bye,
and I
guys.
Still haven't done anything.
So if you have any comments or questions for the show, please send an email to slamfireradio@gmail.com. Now go grab a gun and shoot something. When the talking is over,
it's time to get a gun. I'm lead next week?
Yep. So that means.
Okay. So that means I say my name next.
Yes, and I say it last, and then we do the same order for what we did this week in Guns.
Do we? I didn't realize we had an order for that.
Well, it just happens to be by coincidence.
Okay.
It's Owen, you, then me in the intro, and then Owen, you, and me in the show notes for what we did in Guns.
Right. That's right. We did start for the range, didn't we, Owen? We didn't quite make it.
No.
Thanks to Jeff. We should totally call him out.
I think so. It had nothing to do with the fact that I wasn't feeling good, but...
Had nothing to do with that. We will not mention that we were not going to go anyway because you weren't feeling well, but...
No. Don't do that.
No. We'll just basically blame it all on Jeff and carry on.
That's the same.
Especially
part.
Now that he listens to the show regular.
Yes. we figured here, we helped him figure out how to get his iPod all subscribed to us. So.
Nice. Yep. So now you're pretty much, by the laws of podcasting, required to throw him under the bus.
I believe that is a rule. Let me just check subsection 6, paragraph 8. Yes. Yes, it is. If, whereas, therefore, and you do help a friend subscribe.
Wait. Are you reading the Firearms Act?
I very well could be.
Are you recording all of this?
I am.
That's unfortunate.
Just from about a minute ago, though. So anyway, there's a train going by, but if you can't hear it, you're clear to go whenever you like.
Well, let me check my mic settings, because last week that's what
happened. Yes, just tap your mic. There, that's the mic you're using.
Okay, yeah, Logitech, and yeah, I know. Okay.
Yeah, you sound better this weekend. Of course, I'm back at home, so you sound better anyway, but...
Gotcha.
It's because you're closer.
Yes.
And also, it was confirmed... that I wasn't using my headset mic, because when I muted my mic to play with my gun while you were reading that long email or news story.
Right.
Yeah. Click, 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 click.
Oh, yeah. I just thought you were being rude.
No. Of course. As a rule, when you think I'm being rude, ask, are you being rude right now? Well, and if I am, I'll
are
say,
you being,
yeah.
Are you being rude right now? Yes, I am. Yes, okay, I am. Then. Thank you for letting me know. Oh, funny.
I don't even have a gun in here. That's terrible.
That is terrible. I should get that gun and put it in my lap because it's a cool gun. It's actually not, but anyway. All right. I got a gun now. I'm good.
Ready?
Yarp.